This is Midwest Pet Life on WGIL. I'm Candace Doniolo, and every week we dig into the stuff that really matters for the animals that you love. Brought to you by your locally owned pet store in Galesburg, Dante and Dory's Pet Emporium. Let's get into it. Today we're talking about what's really in your pet's bowl, reading that food label without the stress. Because if I asked you to read me the first five ingredients on your pet's food right now or a bag of treats, could you do it? Most people can't because some of those words don't make any sense to us. And that's not really a criticism, right? You know, nobody handed us a manual when we brought our pets home and told us exactly what to do with them. We grabbed the bag that was on sale or whatever a breeder recommended or whatever our friends used or whatever we brought home, you know, when the pets were with our families. That's real life, right? That's most of us. But here's the thing. That ingredient list, that little paragraph on the back of the bag that most of us have never actually read, it tells a story. And one you really need to consider, right? And once you know what's in that, you really can't unknow it. So today we're going to take that list and help it make sense to you. And by the end of this episode, you'll know exactly what to look for, what to think about, and if you want to, you can do something about it, right? No guilt, no overwhelm. Anything can fit in any budget. It's just information that belongs to you. There's one rule that unlocks the whole label. So before we get into what to look for, here's that one rule that makes all of this manageable, no matter what else you look at or buy. Ingredients on pet food labels are listed by weight, the heaviest ingredient first, meaning that the bulk of the ingredient that's in that bag of food or treats is the most predominant. And that's required by the FDA. So whatever is listed first is what there's the most of in that bag. That's it, right? That's the rule, which means that when you flip that bag over, even if the front of the bag has a beautiful chicken on it or a beautiful piece of salmon or it says chicken, that doesn't actually mean that there's chicken in it, okay? So I want you to flip that bag over and the first ingredient, if it says chicken or any meat source, that's great. But when the first ingredient is corn or cornmeal or a variation of corn, that's the heaviest thing in the bag. And it's more common than you think to see corn as the first ingredient. And that means that there's just more corn than anything else. Now, I want to be fair here because there is a lot of noise on the internet, right, about corn being toxic or evil for pets. And that's not, you know, exactly right to say that either, right? Corn isn't poison. But for dogs and especially for cats, it's a carbohydrate. And the question worth asking is, how much of your pet's diet should be carbohydrates? For dogs, we are, you know, they're scavenging carnivores and their diet and DNA has not changed that much since commercial pet foods came about. They are built to eat primarily meat. A diet that's heavily built around grains and starches is not what their digestive system was designed for. It's not what they would eat out in nature. And when you're feeding that diet every day for years, the cumulative effect matters. And for cats, the picture is even clearer, right? Cats are what are called obligate carnivores. That means biologically, physiologically, they're required to get their nutrition from animal protein. And research published in peer-reviewed journals includes a review from the National Institute of Health that they found that cats' bodies simply are not built to process carbohydrates the way that other animals are. They lack the digestive enzymes that kick off carbohydrate breakdown. A natural prey diet for a wild cat, you know, that cat that lives outside, is roughly 50% protein, 45% fat, and about 2% carbohydrates. The average dry kibble, that can have 30 to 50% carbohydrates. And that gap really matters, right? Research has linked high carbohydrate diets in cats to increased risk of obesity, and obesity in cats makes them four times more likely to develop diabetes. These are not rare conditions. They are some of the most common things that veterinarians see, and it is one of the most common topics that come into Dante and Dory's Pet Emporium that we help pet parents navigate as they're looking to switch foods. So here's what you need to look for on the label as well, okay? We'll do this real quickly in three steps here. If you were to walk into my store and show me that bag, or if I handed you a bag in my own store, we would look at the first three ingredients. That's step number one, okay? Those first three ingredients tell you the most. You want to see a named animal protein. Chicken, beef, salmon, turkey, lamb, okay? Those are all great. You do not want to see poultry. That's vague. Or even animal meat. Also, very vague. What animal are we talking about here? And, you know, you might want to cover your ears on this one, but when it is not named, that could mean dead, diseased animals that have come from, you know, any of the production plants. It's also been known to be roadkill or even, you know, passed away animals from the zoos. I mean, it really gets gross here, but that's why we want to have named proteins, okay? Specific and named is always better. If you see corn, wheat, or soy in those first three spots, that food is built primarily on plant matter, not animal protein. And remember, dogs and cats specifically, like they really need that protein in their diet. They're carnivores. Step two here is we need to understand meals. You might see chicken meal or salmon meal and wonder if that's worse than just chicken. Actually, meal means that water has been removed. Okay, so there has been more of a process in the cooking process to happen. So there are some arguments around that in the, you know, nutrition, pet nutrition worlds. But this essentially, you know, by taking the water out, concentrates that protein. And so when chicken meal is the first ingredient, that's even more chicken, right? That water has been pulled out. So the weight of that chicken is still highly, highly concentrated and sometimes even up to 70% protein in that food. Whereas regular chicken is about 80% water. So when that water gets cooked out of the kibble making process, it drops way down the list, right? So if chicken meal is the number one, it can actually mean that there's just more protein than fresh chicken at number one. But, you know, it's one of those tricky things. So again, we're so stressed out about that difference, but if you see meal, that's what that means. And we're just really wanting to make sure that proteins and named meats are those first few ingredients, okay? Then the third thing here is we're going to watch for ingredient splitting, okay? This one's a little sneaky because a company might list corn and then corn gluten and then corn meal as three separate ingredients. They can look smaller on the ingredient list, right? They go deeper down the list, but because as the list goes on, you know, it's like that ingredient gets less and less. So when you do see the good stuff like blueberries and spinach or kale or pumpkin buried on the ingredient list, there really isn't a lot of it left in the food. So when they split these ingredients, if you were to add them all up together, they actually become much more dominant in the food, right? So then that might make that corn the first ingredient. And you know what? That's legal because the pet food world also has different rules than in the human consumption world, okay? So it's very common in lower quality foods. The fourth thing I want you to notice here in your ingredient label are byproducts and digest. Again, this is so common in commercial brands. Byproducts aren't necessarily dangerous. They sometimes can be, but they're not always necessarily that way. They include, you know, organ meats sometimes, but and actually organ meats are really good, but it might not be the best or quality of a meat, but it also includes other animal parts, like if it says chicken byproduct. That's just feathers and beaks and, you know, feet. Again, it's not going to hurt your pet, but it sure doesn't have a lot of nutrition in it. So we need to be looking for things that are have more nutritional value. And the animal digest, that's just rendered processed material used mainly as a flavor enhancer. And it's a sign that you are looking at a lower quality food or treat. So the more specific the ingredient is, the better. And we also want to check for preservatives, okay? You want to see natural preservatives like mixed tocopherols. I always say that word wrong, but I think I got it right. Mixed tocopherols, that's vitamin E, or ascorbic acid. You want to avoid BHA and BHT, which are synthetic preservatives that have raised concerns in long-term research, okay? And artificial colors like red 40, yellow 5, and 6 serve no nutritional purpose for your pet, right? They are there to make that food look appealing to you, not to the animal, okay? So the thing here, when you're looking at that ingredient list, you know, the corn and some of these other fillers do make that food more affordable, okay? And that's why you might see some giant bags of pet food at a significantly lower price than some of the higher quality foods that are full of proteins and vegetables and fruits and things that our pets need. And you might even see differences in raw food. Like at Dante and Dory's, we have freezers full of raw foods and gently cooked foods. There is a different way. There's different ways to feed your pet. And I know that there are also different budgets, okay? So as you're starting to look at what's in your pet's food currently, if you don't have the ability to come in and switch foods completely, then let's look at how we can build your pet a better bowl by adding in something that might be a broth or a salmon oil or sprinkling a freeze-dried food right on top or mixing in the little bowl boosters we have of like straight organ meat into the food, right? That's going to bring that moisture that those cats and dogs need too. Imagine a popular grocery store brand. You've seen it. I don't need to name it. The first five ingredients are ground yellow corn, chicken byproduct, corn gluten meal, whole wheat flour, and animal fat. This food is mostly corn and wheat. The protein source is a byproduct. There's no named fat source. It just says animal fat, right? That tells us nothing about where it came from or what it is. Now imagine a dog that eats this every single day for 10 years. That's a body processing enormous amounts of starch and cheap protein day after day with very little of what it's biologically was actually designed for, okay? My friend and veterinarian and author, Dr. Karen Becker, who has spent her career studying species-appropriate nutrition and was the first vet ever to give a TED talk on this topic, and she's one of the most globally well-known veterinarians, she has said it plainly. No animal thrives eating highly processed, ultra-processed foods for a lifetime. It's not a radical idea either, guys. You know, we know it's true for humans too. And when we can feed our pets higher quality foods, more protein, fresh foods, it actually does decrease those vet visits that you need to be making, right? So you're saving money there for the problems that can pop up. Plus, you can usually cut back on some of these prescriptions that you need to be paying for your pets, because when they're on an appropriate diet, their skin gets better, their coat gets better, they shed less, their poops even get a little smaller. Not just a little smaller, they actually do, because more is absorbed into their gut and absorbed into the bloodstream, and that they use that good food instead of pushing out all that waste, right? Here's the cat scenario. Your cat is likely not drinking enough water. I think we all know that, right? Most cats are in a low-grade state of dehydration because they were designed to get their moisture from prey. A mouse is about 70% water. Dry kibble is about 10% moisture. A cat drinking from a bowl is playing catch-up their entire life. Chronic low-level dehydration in cats can strain the kidneys, and kidney disease is one of the leading causes of death in older cats. That's not a coincidence, right? So wet food, raw food, broths, and even adding some water to your cat's kibble, getting a cat water fountain that trickles out that water to attract the cat to the water source can make a real difference in how much moisture they're getting. And in the long term, healthier kidneys, which means they will live longer. And who doesn't want their dog or cat to live as long as they possibly can? Another friend of mine, Rodney Habib, the co-author of the New York Times number one bestseller, The Forever Dog. I've had him on one of my other podcasts. I could text him right now if I needed to. So you are special here in this area that you have a locally owned pet store so connected in the pet industry to help you build thriving lives for your pets, okay? Rodney has spent years interviewing longevity researchers, geneticists, and pet owners whose animals lived into their 20s and even 30s. One of the clearest things those conversations revealed was what we feed our animals is one of the most controllable factors in how long they live. It's not the only factor. Genetics play a role, but food is something we choose every single day. So one thing I want to say clearly, because I know some of you might be thinking about prescription foods, or, you know, your vet is recommending. If your vet has prescribed a specific diet for a health condition, please keep that conversation going with your vet. I mean, we are certainly here to help support those needs with other supplementation, but you know, we're not here to replace your veterinarian. Okay, that's their lane. They know your pet, and your relationship with your vet really does matter. Okay, what I'm talking about today is that everyday commercial food that most pets eat their entire lives before any health condition even shows up. Okay. That's the conversation that we want to have with you. And it's really great to build in that rotational feeding. You know, people get on a brand and they love that brand. And then, you know what? That brand might have a recall, or there might have supply and demand issues, you know, supply chain issues. And so we want you to think about, you know, rotating your pet's food, change it up. You know, and if you're worried about how that's going to impact their intestinal tract there, what might come out the other end, we can help you with that too. Okay. Again, we've got amazing brands at Dante and Dory's, or at, you know, other, you can find these brands at other pet stores, or, you know, even online, but we'd love for you to support us at Dante and Dory's. We have free samples and lots of education and opportunity to learn more about what might be right to feed your pet. Because whatever food that you are feeding right now, you know, you didn't do anything wrong. You might be looking at that label going, oh my goodness, I never want to buy another bag of this again, right? Here's the thing. You fed your pet, right? You made sure that they had food, you know, in the bowl. I was going to say on the table, but I guess most dogs and cats are not climbing up on the table. They had food in the bowl. You made sure that happened. And that's love, okay? You're feeding them consistently. You're making sure they have fresh water. You're giving them all the love and the pets that they need. This episode was really about what's possible if you decide you want to look a little bit closer into what's in that bag. Because unfortunately, in the pet industry, pretty bags on the front convey one message to us as consumers, but the back of the bag, they can't lie in that ingredient label. So here's the good news, everybody. And I want to make sure we end here because I don't want anyone to leave feeling overwhelmed. You don't have to overhaul everything overnight, okay? You don't have to switch to raw food tomorrow, right? There is a budget factor for that. And if budget is a factor, as it is for a lot of families, there are some small things that you can do right now that can make a real difference in what your pets are getting. We call that building a better bowl. So adding a spoonful of some canned food to the dry food, you know, sometimes a canned food is around, you know, $3.99. And if you're just putting a couple spoonfuls into every bowl, that can get stretched out over a couple days. Pour a little, you know, low sodium chicken broth on over the kibble if you absolutely have to, right? Cats especially love this, and it adds some moisture. We sell bone broth that is not very much either, that's specifically designed for cats and dogs. You can drop a raw egg right in over the food a few times a week. You can add a teaspoon of fish oil. You know, it's really inexpensive. You can easily find those kinds of things, you know, at stores, or definitely at our store for sure. And it can do remarkable things for the skin and coat and inflammation. These aren't expensive interventions, okay? These are just upgrades to what you're putting in their bowl currently. And every upgrade matters. And it could add years to your pet's life. If you are ready to look at a different food entirely, something with a named protein at the top of the list, without any artificial colors or synthetic preservatives, stop in at Dante and Dory's Pet Emporium in Galesburg. We carry options at various range of price points and have frequent buyer programs and coupons, all that good stuff. I love nothing more, and my team loves nothing more than looking at the label and helping somebody find something that will work best for their specific animal. That's genuinely one of our favorite conversations to have. And here, the bottom line today is I just wanted you to think about flipping over that bag, right? Read the first three ingredients and ask yourself if what's listed there matches what your dog or cat was built to eat. That's the whole thing here. I'm Candace Daniolo, the host here at Midwest Pet Life on WGIL and the owner of Dante and Dory's Pet Emporium. I'd love for you to subscribe to this podcast, to leave us a review, to share it with a friend, because if this episode made you think differently about what's in your pet's bowl, it can also help another pet owner who also has maybe never heard of this before, okay? And, you know, I think that they need to have this information. So thanks so much for listening today, and I'll see you on next week's episode of Midwest Pet Life here on WGIL.